Good evening. How are we doing this evening? The teens are leaving us. Oh, man. You know, before I jump into my lesson this evening, I just want to share just what's been on my heart the last week or so. I am very, very, very honored to be a part of this church. I mean, just being a part of this fellowship, having the relationships, seeing the hearts of the disciples, giving financially, giving spiritually, giving to each other when we're sick, when we're not feeling well, denying ourselves. I'm just honored, really, to be a part of this congregation. And I know a lot of you guys. And I know your hearts. I see your hearts week in, week out. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, God, that we have a wonderful, wonderful fellowship. God, that we have you, God, as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior. God, that you have protected us. You continue to protect us. You continue to provide for us. As Kendall said, you're moving the needle. God, and God, you will continue to move the needle in our lives collectively and individually. God, I thank you so much, Father, for this evening. I pray for those that weren't able to make it tonight for whatever reason, God, that you will comfort them, that you will be with them. God, that we can encourage them in some form or fashion. God, I pray that you will continue to be with Steve and Carol McKenya. God, with the R1 visa, Father, that you will expedite that. God, that you will touch the hearts of those that are processing that package, dear God. And God, that you will move powerfully in that way. Father, we love you so much. I thank you so much, Father, for just your love. I pray that you will be with me as I speak tonight. Speak through me, God. Move me out of the way and let your Holy Spirit move in a powerful way. We love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 27. Just a little side note. I spoke to Steve McKenya on Sunday. Okay. He's very, very excited about coming over. Him and Carol, Chelsea and Stephanie. They're so excited about just being a part of our congregation, coming over here, building relationships. They've already started building relationships with their girls, with some of the teen girls on Facebook. So, you know, they're trying to connect. They're connecting with the elders. They're connecting with people trying to get established relationships before they arrive. And just to see Steve's patience in this whole R1 visa process, it just really tells the story about him, how patient he is. He's confident. He knows that it's all going to happen in God's timing. So let's continue to pray and pray and pray. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, Philippians 1, verse 27. It says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again, or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Amen?
Amen.
So here's Paul in jail, but his attitude is one of joy, one of trusting God for everything that was happening to him. He was full of joy. He was just trusting God. I really look forward to meeting Paul when I get to heaven to figure out how he did that. Because I know me, my attitude would have been just the opposite. Just a bad attitude. But here, Paul is encouraging the brothers to live as citizens of heaven. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Living as citizens of heaven. Because, you know, we get to live here in America. I have no idea of the living conditions where Steve McKinney is at right now. I have no idea of some of the countries, the other countries, and how they're living. Some of us do. Some of us in this room, we really do. But I have no idea. But what I do know is that we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. When you look at what's going on in the world today, it's frightening. And I've really been thinking about, man, I can't wait for Jesus to come back, because it's just so much going on. It's frightening. And you can get caught up as one of those belonging to this world. Your mindset will become like one of those belonging to this world. Your actions, your speech, your spending habits, all of that. How do we conduct ourselves? If there was a reality show about to get started, and they were like, you know what, 24 hours of your life on a hidden camera, what would that look like? Would that look like a person longing to be with God? A person that wants to go to heaven? A person that is trusting God? Or would it look like just the opposite? Man, he's just like the rest of the folks on the hidden camera. It's no difference. You know, the Bible says we need to be set apart. God has set us apart to be different, to be ambassadors, to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. And here in Philippians, verse 27, it says, I know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. What do we fight together for as disciples? How do we fight together? Are we fighting amongst each other? Are we fighting for the faith? Are we standing side by side, trusting each other, trusting God, and going after this lost generation?
Come on, Mike.
This is a lost and corrupt generation that we're facing day in and day out. And if we're going to live as citizens of heaven, we have to live that life that is worthy of the calling that we've received. We have schools about to get started. We got some fired up parents maybe in here. No? That's different. Campus, He's excited about school getting started back. Yeah. But we have an opportunity to be different on our campuses. We have an opportunity to really impact the kids there, the people at our workplaces, the people in our neighborhoods. We have an opportunity to do that. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2. We're going to start in verse 11. Just Peter talking to the Christians. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." I love this passage. It's very, very challenging. But here Paul is saying he urges us. We need to urge each other. Come on. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to go to this place. We need to urge each other and encourage each other. And it says, abstain from sinful desires. That's the sexual immorality. Steve hit on it on Sunday. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. We all know that. We need to urge each other to abstain from those sinful desires which wage war against our souls. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know that there is a war going on for your soul, we need to talk. There is a war going on. And the question you have to ask yourself is, how hard am I fighting back? Am I fighting at all? Or am I just giving in? You know, I got a good friend that gave me a coin well over a year ago, and it basically says, put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:10. And he said, just keep this with you. And I keep it with me all the time in my pocket, just a reminder, just rubbing that coin like, okay, here's another battle. Wherever you go, whether it's on 85, whether it's on the campuses, wherever you're at, there's a war going on. And we have to fight. We have to be ready to fight. And if we're not fighting, guess what? We're losing. We have to stand firm and fight. In verse 12 here in 2 Peter, it says, live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And I want to talk about my wife for a minute, because she works in a medical office. And she is constantly being bombarded with conversations, with issues, with people, constantly. And just recently, there was this woman that really just had some issues with her for no apparent reason. But I'm so proud of her, because I seen verse 12 in her life. Live such good lives amongst the pagans Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Amen. Are people seeing your good deeds? The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Is that a part of your life? Is that who you are? Because that's the only way that we're going to impact this world.
That's right.
And live like citizens of heaven. Are we fighting? Turn back over to Philippians. We'll start in Philippians 1:28. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Amen. In verse 28, Philippians 1:28, it says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. That's encouraging. You know, here Paul is saying, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Who has been opposed this week? That happens daily. At my job, it happens daily. But I have to stand firm. And the Bible says it is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but we will be saved, and that by God. See, when we give in to intimidation, you know, it paralyzes us. It stunts our growth. We just stop. We're stalled. It's like you're stalled on 285. You can't go anywhere because fear stops you from doing what God wants us to do. And the Bible says that we need to live by faith, not by fear. When we get intimidated, it usually comes back out of us in anger. We just resort to that anger thing. It happens all the time, whether it's in traffic, whether it's at work, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your children. It's anger and rebellion that may manifest in our behavior. That's where we go. But the Bible says that we need to be humble and meek. We need to be learners. Citizens of heaven seek God's view regarding all issues. And we have a lot of issues, right? We face a lot of issues on a day-to-day basis. But we need to regard all those issues the way that God regards those issues. We don't need to have that default, this is the way my parents did it, this is the way my brother did it. It's Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? Philippians 1 in verse 29, it says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to what? Suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Who likes to struggle in here? Some of us struggle getting here tonight, just in traffic. I know traffic was horrible for me trying to get over here. There's going to be struggles all the time, but we have to figure out and know how to deal with those struggles. And back in verse 27, it says we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. I know just this past Saturday, you know, usually Dennis and I go up to Stone Mountain, get our little run on, fellowship. But they were having like a pro-Confederate flag rally up there. And I chose not to go. I did. I said, you know what? That's okay. I'll stay home. And so while I was out, I was like, let me call Dennis and check on my buddy. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm up at Stone Mountain. Where are you? But, you know, Dennis is a fearless man. He loves to work out. And he is not going to let nothing or no one stop him from his workout. I love Dennis. I just made a decision to stay at home that day. But the Bible says right here in verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Is that our hearts? Is that our attitude? Is that what we're doing? Man, I want to leave the house. I want to suffer for Christ today. Or are we trying to avoid any kind of struggle that comes our way? The Bible says in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you can be what? Mature and complete. Who wants to be mature and complete? Amen. Because that's what he's saying, that we need to get there so that we'll know how to get to the other side. But if we're over here and we're afraid to go through those trials and to suffer for Christ, I'm going to use Kendall's thing. We're not going to move the needle on our spiritual journey. We're going to stay over here. We're not going to move. Yep. We need to embrace the things that happen in our lives and deal with them in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. Amen. As citizens of heaven, what is your view on suffering? We have some brothers and sisters in here that they suffer physically. I can't imagine. I mean, I the closest that I've been to it is just seeing my son suffer with sickle cell. And to see him not able to walk, not able to do anything because of the suffering. And all I could think about is, hey, man, I wish I could just take his place. But what is your view on suffering for Christ? Are we sold out? Are we citizens of heaven? Because if that's your heart and that's your attitude, you're going to be willing to do anything for Christ. It is by God's grace that we have a chance to trust in Christ. We have to trust in him. I was telling my wife this morning, You know, I love singing, and I wish I could dance. I can't do either. But, you know, this song has been on my heart. You know, this place is not my home. Amen. And we're going to close with that song, because I love that song. But that's all I've been thinking about. Mike, this place is not your home. With all this stuff going on around me, that keeps me focused on heaven. This place is not my home. Have we got comfortable here? Have we blended in with the rest of the world? Does our marriages look just like the marriages in the world? The way we're raising our kids, does it look just like the way that the world are raising their kids? The way we conduct business, does that look the same way as the way the world conducts business? We have to be different. We have to be different. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm going to start reading in verse 13. The Hebrew writer says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. When I read that, I'm like, whoa, that's incredible. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But these men and women, they only saw and welcomed all of this from a distance. I would have a bad attitude about that. Just to be able to see it, but not get to it. And God is causing that to happen. But they say, it says that people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Verse 16, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Would our lifestyles right now, would that reflect someone that is longing for the other country, for the heavenly country? Would God be ashamed right now to say, man, Mike's not the one. It says that he was not ashamed to be called their God because of their heart, because of their faith, because of their love. And he has prepared a city for them. Turn over to John 14. Just reading the Bible a little bit tonight. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Here's the good news, brothers and sisters. Those of us that are disciples of Jesus Christ, we know the way. That's good news. I don't like being lost. I like to know where I'm going and be able to get there in a timely manner, without any traffic, without any detours. But you know what? That's not the life that God has for us. There's going to be detours. There's going to be pit stops. There's going to be breakdowns. But we have each other. We have each other to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to say, to spur one another on, to say, come on, you can do this. I love that about the body of Christ. Being able to spur one another on. Let's look at another passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is some good news. But it's going to be a challenging journey. It's a challenging journey. It's tough. And here, you know, Paul is challenging the church to set their hearts on things above. I'm so encouraged by the missions right now, because that's a part of setting our hearts on things above. There's going to be brothers and sisters in heaven that are going to be able to turn to us and say, you know what, because of your sacrifice, because of those incredible cookies. And by the way, I'm going to get some of those cookies. You're helping me. You helped me get up here. That's going to be incredible. It says set your mind on things above. That's so challenging. We cannot do that without God. It's impossible. If we're not in his word, studying his word, You know, I think about just refueling. Because by nature, you know, I'm at work, I start giving, 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 giving. I'm in traffic trying to be patient, being courteous to other drivers. Okay, go ahead, it's no problem. You get home, you're giving, you're giving, you're giving. You go to church, you're giving, you're giving. But if you're not taking in as much as you're putting out, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a bad attitude. You're going to get a bad attitude. And see, that's an indication that we need to refuel. Jesus did that. It says Jesus often withdrew. Often. And usually it comes out in our homes to the ones that love us the most. Sad, but true. Because we can come to church and we can give to others all night long. When we go home, our kids start asking for things, or our spouses want things fixed in the house. You know, we get bad attitudes. But the Bible says that we need to set our minds on things above. In verse 3, it says, "For you died." When you were baptized into Christ, your old self died. You became a new creation. And it says that life now is hidden in Christ. Would people at your job say that? Would people on the campuses say that? That, hey, your life is hidden with Christ. I can just tell that you are not that same person. Would your spouse say that? Would your children say that? You're so different. I want to close by just sharing, you know, suffering can open your eyes to your spiritual character and your inadequacies. Yeah. But if we focus on God, we find strength to overcome our struggles as we journey on to heaven. And see, we can journey together. We're a body. We need each other. We need encouragement from one another. And if you don't think you need that encouragement, please see me afterwards, because I want to know your secret. Allow the challenges you're going through to deepen your trust in God. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I'm going to trust God today. Philippians 1:27, no matter what happens, I'm going to conduct myself in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. If there's one takeaway here tonight, let's reflect on being citizens of heaven. And let's encourage each other to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. We're going to have one closing song, and then we're going to be dismissed. Thank you.